أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 61 of Surah Baqarah أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قلتم يا موسى لن نصبر على طعام واحد فادع لنا ربك يخرج لنا مما تنبت الأرض من بقلها وقثائها وفومها وعدسها وبصلها قال أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم وضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة وباءوا بغضب من الله ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون relatively a long verse and when you said O Moses we will not put up with one kind of food so invoke your Lord for us that he may bring forth for us of that which the earth grows, its greens and its cucumbers, its garlic, its lentils and its onions. He said, do you seek to replace what is superior with that which is inferior? Go down to any town and you will indeed get what you ask for. So they were struck with abasement and poverty and they earned Allah's wrath. That because they would defy the signs of Allah and kill the prophets unjustly, that because they would disobey and used to commit transgression. Now, this verse, of course, is not in line with other verses where the bounties of Allah are mentioned here. A sort of disobedience or not appreciating the ungratefulness towards Allah is mentioned, and then Allah tells us the consequences of this ungratefulness. Now, when this conversation between Musa and his people took place, we don't know. What was the context? Of course, for Quran, it's not important, the context of this conversation. Only the attitude of people is important, and that's why the attitude is mentioned rather than the context of the conversation. Now, we heard before that when Banu Israel were wandering in the desert and they didn't have food, they didn't have water, Allah provided them for food for breakfast and food for dinner, al-man wa salwa, and also they asked for water. Allah provided them water in the middle of the desert, out of nowhere. Now, when they had all these things, they said that, well, we are only eating man and salwa, only these honey-like breakfast and the birds which come to us every day. Why God wouldn't send us, or why don't you ask God to give us some other sort of side dishes like فَدْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكْ You call your Lord for us so that he would bring us from the earth مِنْ بَقْلَهَا بَقْل are salads and greenery and such things like that وَقِثَّائِهَا cucumber فُومَهَا and garlic وَعَدَسِهَا lentils وَبَصَلِهَا onions and these are probably only some of the things that they were asking. They were asking even more. This shows the type of psychology of these people who were not satisfied with whatever they were given. And also, apparently what was happening, the people were nagging and criticizing Musa for what he was giving them. They were actually criticizing God for what he was giving them. God doesn't know that we need all these things. We need salad, we need vegetable, we need cucumber and garlic and and things like that. He doesn't know that, and he's only giving us man and salwa. Now, what Musa told them, قَالَ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Are you seeking to replace what is superior with what which is inferior? Now, this may have two different meanings. One meaning is that what God is giving you is enough in its nutrition. Because sometimes we think that, okay, if we don't have fruit, salad, vegetable, we don't get enough nutrition. And Musa is telling them that, well, there is enough nutrition in what God is giving you. You don't need anything else, all the vitamins, everything are here for you, and better, actually. It's more nutritious than whatever you mentioned here. So you are actually seeking to replace. If God gives you those things, then he may just withdraw what he's giving free of charge now to you every day. So you are changing whatever is better to whatever is lower in its nutritious qualities. The other thing is that what is given to you is a gift from God. What you want is what man actually produces from the land. You are trying or seeking to change this with what other people have, with what other people produce from the land, so that this is what is superior because it comes from God, because it is something which is a gift to you, especially to this nation, and no other nation has ever been given this gift. So you are seeking to replace this with قَالَ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ اهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ. Now, go down to any city or go down to Egypt. Both meaning are possible because Misr was the name for Egypt and Misr was the name for any city as well. Why Egypt was called Misr? Apparently because it was the most magnificent city in the world, I mean the cities in the Egypt. So it was called the city. Misr was the city. Now, if we take it to be any city, or some have said that this is Jericho, and they were actually asking these things without intending to enter into Jericho or any other city. What Musa is telling them, if we take it as any city or Jericho, it means that, okay, you go and fight and enter the city. If you enter the city, then you can produce all these things for yourself. But you are wandering in the desert, you don't want to do anything, you don't want to fight for it, and then you are asking God to provide everything for you. This is not possible. If we take it to be Egypt, which is more probable, means go back to Egypt. In Egypt, you had all these things. You had cucumber, you had garlic, onion, lentil, and all these things you had. You used to eat these things. But what was the situation of your life? You were living in slavery. You had Pharaoh on top of your head. And now you are free. You are having these different types of food. So ehbetu means go down. Go down means going into the city is, of course, a lower state than what you are in at the moment. اهبطوا مصرا. So the better meaning is that go back to Egypt. If you want these things, go back to Egypt. فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ. You have there whatever you wanted. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And they were struck with abasement or humility and poverty, and they earned Allah's wrath. Now, this may be just a new sentence starting, not because they asked these things, because of all those things which they did before, mentioned before, they were struck with humility and poverty. Now, this may mean only for those people who were there in the desert, or it may be a general a general edict about all Banu Israel. They were struck with humility and poverty. And poverty here doesn't mean that they were literally poor. They had this sort of attitude of always wanting more, always wanting what they didn't have. Just like here, they had Man and Salwa, but they wanted more. And we gave them this quality of always wanting more. And this is maskana. If you are very rich and you're always after something else, you are poor, actually. You feel poverty because you always feel that, oh, I don't have these things. I don't have things that other people who are above me have. So this is type of maskana. And humility, dhilla, abasement. Other nations, actually, later on in history, we will see what happened if we take it as a general ruling for Banu Israel. Every time, every now and then, they were enslaved, they were attacked by other people, they were killed, they were burnt. If you look into the history of Banu Israel, and the latest one was the Holocaust, of course, that what happened to them. Now, not that it is good to do these things to a people, but if we look as a trend, it has been happening. And the reason it has been happening may be that feeling of maskana, that feeling that they always want more. Always wanting more, it means that always you have to intrude into other people's rights, property, house, and everything. And therefore, this dhilla is written for them, humility and maskana. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ. There's another verse which mentions that. وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكَ لَيَبْعَثَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ يَسُومَهُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. Your Lord announced, it means that he decreed, that until the day of judgment, until the day of judgment, there will always be it would always be the case that they will be given the taste of punishment and difficulties. And this has been, if you look back into the history, this has been a trend in the Jewish history. Not that the people who do it are good people, not that they are, it is good to do it, but it happens for them because of what quality which they had here. They always want more than what they have, what is their right, what is written for them, and therefore this happens. This may be one meaning of this verse, that the Jewish nation, because they always, when they get some power, as soon as they get some power, they want to take other people's right, and when they want to do it, then they will face the reaction of some sort, and again that dhilla and maskana comes back to them. Anyhow, this is what we understand from these verses. Not, of course, all the Jews, as we will see later on in the verse. It says that, of course, there are always exceptions. There are always people who act justly, no matter whether they are Jews or of other religions. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةَ وَالْمَسْكَنَةَ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Now, this is a very sort of terrifying expression. When you do something and then you go back home after doing your business, after exerting some effort, after going to, for example, a journey, and after something, and when you come back home, of course, you bring something back with you. At the end of the month, you take your salary, you go for business, you take some benefit. What they earned to go back with was only the wrath of Allah. وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. It means that the only, all their efforts, whatever they did, whatever they wanted, whatever they sought, what it earned for them was just the wrath of God. وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Now, as I said, this is not only about the people who are wandering in the desert at the time of Moses. It's now extending it to the whole history of Banu Israel. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Now, why this happened to them? Why dhilla and maskana, poverty and humility, was written on the, were written on them? Why they returned only to find the wrath of God on them? Because they were ungrateful to what Allah gave them. They were rejecting ayatullah. What ayat Allah gave them? Many ayat Allah gave them. Of course, we heard all of those things which were not given to any nation, to any people. Now they were ungrateful. They rejected all of them. They defied the signs of Allah. وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And they were killing the prophets without any justification. And this, especially this verse, shows that this is not about only those people, because those people in desert, they did not kill any prophet. Later on, when prophets went to them to rectify their thought, their understanding of the book, they used to kill them. And how did they kill the prophets? Of course, they had the verdict of their rabbis that this man should be killed. This man is deviant. In the Nabi'in of Banu Israel, of course, the Anbiya of Banu Israel are very famous because Allah gave them so many prophets, sent so many prophets to them that he never sent to any nation. And this is because the gift Allah gave them, the Torah, these instructions, they always found a way to justify it, to interpret it in a way which fitted their own type of life that they wanted. So the prophets went to warn them. So these prophets didn't bring any book with them, didn't bring any new instructions. They were only trying to give them the right interpretation of the Torah, to tell them this is the way you have to act based on Torah, not the way you are acting now. And of course, the rabbis, the chief rabbis, they were actually teaching people how to follow the Torah. And when these prophets went, like Jesus, I mean, Jesus was actually condemned by the chief rabbi, by rabbis of the temple, and they wanted to have him killed. And they did not succeed, of course, based on the Quran, but the previous prophets, they were all killed or imprisoned based on the fatwa or ruling of the chief rabbis. This happens, this sort of confrontation happens when you have a sort of official interpretation of the book by those who regard themselves to be the custodians of the book, or those people who understand the book, and some people who come and tell that this is not the right way to do it, this is not you are actually losing the spirit of faith by practicing in this way, and they started to kill those prophets. And we have a very interesting tradition from the Prophet, peace be upon him, which says, "Ulama u ummati afdalu min anbiya'i bani Israel." The ulama of my ummah are higher in their degree and in their status than the Anbiya of Banu Israel. It actually tells us two things. First of all, that the position of Anbiya of Banu Israel, who were killed, was to give right interpretation, not to bring anything new, as ulama of the Ummah of the Prophet were not to bring anything new. It was just to interpret the book correctly. So the position of this Anbiya of Banu Israel were just to interpret the Torah, to interpret the book Moses sent. And secondly, in this Ummah, there are always people who try to do this. And of course, we treated them exactly in the same way as the Jews, Banu Israel, did to their Anbiya. And these ulama, of course, are the A'imma alayhimu salam. Not everyone who just goes and learns. Sometimes we become like those chief rabbis, isn't it? The ulama of Banu Israel, the ulama of Ummah of the Prophet are the A'imma alayhimu salam. And they have actually explicitly mentioned that nahnu al-ulama, the ulama that Prophet mentions are us. we try to interpret the book for you in the same way that the Anbiya of Banu Israel tried to interpret Torah for the people. And now we see that in the same way that the Anbiya were killed, were rejected, the A'imma were killed and rejected by this Ummah. No, we have to be careful. We shouldn't just say, oh, because we are Muslims, God should give us glory, God should give us superiority to all other nations. If Islam is right, if the book is right, if the book is given to us by God, and we try to follow it, so why we are inferior to others? Well, ذَلَكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَئِمَّةِ, isn't it? They used to do this, they rejected the A'imah, and this should have been ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةِ. Then humility and poverty was written for them. Why it was written for them? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. They rejected Ayatullah, and what ayat more than the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet and the A'imah alayhi wasalam. And يَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. You see, the pattern is always similar. If we are, of course, criticizing Banu Israel, we have to criticize ourselves as well. Names are not important, and as Allah mentions later on in the following verse. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Now, why were they rejecting and defying the signs of Allah? Why were they killing the prophets without any justification? ذَلِكَ بِمَا أَسَوْا. Because they disobeyed. They rejected to follow the book of God. وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. And because they committed transgression. Now you see what the outcome of certain attitudes will be, certain actions. If we act unjustly, it means that before that something has happened, before that something has happened in our heart, before that we have behaved in a way which has, as a consequence, this type of action that is very dramatic, like killing people, killing the prophets. And this shows that actually the very dramatic acts that people take, like acting very unjustly, killing, murdering, this is the consequence of certain things which went before that. It's something that we earn gradually. We are not born murderers. We are not born transgressors. We learn it gradually and we earn it gradually. Just like a spirituality, we earn it gradually. This abasement, this sort of very base attitude and humility of spirit and soul is what we earn it gradually. Okay, the following verse is very interesting. It's very aptly put here, saying that you should not think that I am telling these about Jews and Banu Israel because they were Jews and Banu Israel. This is a general rule. This is a general thing that may happen to any nation, so you have to be careful. And the opposite, guidance, reward, could be given to anyone, to any nation. So some people have actually argued why this verse is placed here. That's إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, the faithful means the Muslimun. And الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا in the Quran always means those who believed in the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So, indeed the faithful, the Jews, the Christians, the Sabians, those of them who have faith in Allah and the last day act righteously, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, and nor will they grieve. Now, as I said, this is mentioned here to tell us that don't think that what I said was because I have animosity with this nation. No, with Jewish nation. No. If they act rightly, of course, they receive what they deserve. And if you act wrongly, you receive what they received. The nations mentioned here, Alladina Amanu, Walladina Hadu, the Jews, Wan Nasara, the Christians. Nasara, they were called Nasara because of Nazareth, of course, because Jesus was from Nazareth. They were called Nasara. Was-sabi'in. Four different groups of religions and faiths are mentioned. Three of them are very well known, of course, and Alladina Amanu, the believers, and the Jews and Christians. Sabi'in are a group of people which apparently, at the time of Revelation, people had some contact with them. But later on, they lost this contact, or maybe the Mufassirun who came later on, they didn't know who Sabi'in were. And that's why there was a great disagreement among the Tabi'un, those who came after the companions, with regards to who Sabi'un were, what was their religion. And it's very strange that a religion which is not well known, and only a small group of people were practicing it, is mentioned here in line with Islam and Judaism and Christianity. And we have to find out why Sabi'un are mentioned here. Now, who were the Sabi'un? If we refer to all the Mufassirun from the Tabi'un, like Qatada and Mujahid and others, they have mentioned very contrasting views about Sabi'un. Some say they were a group of people who were worshipping angels. Some said that they were a group of people who were worshipping stars. Some said they were a group of people who had two gods, for example, like the Majus. And this diversity of explanations means that the Tabi'un really didn't know who the Sabi'un were. What they say is not possible, that they were worshipping angels or that they were worshipping stars, because they are here given the status of Ahlul Kitab. And they are mentioned in line with Jews and Christians. And in Muslim history, Sabi'un were regarded to be Ahlul Kitab. So what these scholars like Qatada and Mujahid have mentioned is very strange, unless if we think that they were Ahlul Kitab and then they shifted, they changed, diverted towards worshipping angels and the stars. Nowadays, they say Sabi'un are the Mandaeans. And Manda means gnosis, and Mandaeans are people who are Gnostic people. There were a group of people who regarded themselves as the followers of John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam. And they should have had a book, otherwise they wouldn't have been mentioned in line with Ahlul Kitab here. If we look at those people who call themselves Sabi'i today, or Mandai or Sabi'i today, there are a small group of people, maybe about 150,000 people, who used to live beside the Tigris and Euphrates and Tigris, Dijla and Furat. And in Khuzestan, in Iran also, they used to live beside some rivers, because their religion gives great importance to running water. So they always lived by rivers, because they have to do ghusl or ghusl ta'mid, they baptize themselves every week. And even, for example, when they marry, their wife and husband should immerse themselves in water, and that is the sign of marriage. In this way, the marriage is actually solemnized by going into the water together. So they place a great importance on that, and that is why they always lived by the rivers. They have, of course, books for themselves that they read, which they claim that these are books from the previous prophets coming. And therefore, saying that they were worshipping stars or worshipping angels is not right. Even in Tafsir al-Qummi, we have that they were not from Ahlul Kitab, they were worshipping stars and other planets, for example. And this is something which, as I said, is very strange coming in Qummi, is very strange coming from people like Qatada and Mujahid. They are from Ahlul Kitab. Now, the point is, why this small group of people were mentioned in line with Jews and Christians and Muslims. There are different justifications for that. One justification is that because the Mushrikun and after that the Muslims were actually going for their business journey, their travel in summer to Syria, on the way they were coming across these people who were living by Tigris and Euphrates. And they were aware of this faith. They were aware of that there are some people that they are somehow Gnostics, and they have a very pure sort of life. They worship God, but they are not of our religion. They are not Christians. They are not Jews. So they were familiar with this group of people. And Allah mentioned this as an example of a people who are faithful, who are sincere, but they are not of your faith. So what happens to them? This is probably why Sahabun are mentioned. The other possibility why Sahabun are mentioned is that since Sahabun were a very small group of people, a very small sort of faith community, Allah wants to mention that any faith community, in fact, Sahabun are an example of any faith community who are sincere, who are following a book of God. This is important. Not any faith community who have somehow contrived a faith for themselves, who are following a book of God, as the Sahabun claimed that they were following a book of God. Anyone like that will be regarded, like, for example, nowadays there is this discussion among in Shia theological circles about whether the Buddhists are Ahlul Kitab or not. And they say if actually what they read as their books is a book of God, that we don't know who were the prophets or whatever, who wrote this book. But if it is a book of God, of course, they will be regarded as Ahlul Kitab. Now, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There are three issues to be mentioned with regards to this verse. Is it really implying that religious pluralism is accepted by God or not? That if, it doesn't matter what faith you follow, you only have to be sincere. And if you are sincere, then you will be given your reward. Does it imply that? And if it implies that, it means that you don't need to call anyone to Islam. Why should we try to convert people to our religion? Does it have another meaning or not? This needs a sort of more elaborate discussion. Inshallah, we leave it for our next session after Ramadan. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you very much indeed, Sheikh. Interesting. So let's further the discussion. Brothers, sisters, can you lower? Any brother or sister?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you very much. The request of Bani Israel for these vegetables, etc., it doesn't sound a terrible thing. I mean, we all like a variety of food. Why was it looked at as a bad behavior?
No, the request was bad because God was giving them what they needed, okay? And they knew that they did not deserve that. And still saying that, no, this is not enough for us. What God is given is not enough for us. We want something more. If they had requested that, I mean, if that was the feeling they had, they should have gone and worked for it. I mean, if, for example, we are given certain type of life, and without putting more effort, without the struggling, we just ask God, God, this is not enough. Give us more, without doing anything. Of course, that's bad. Not that those things are bad to be given, but the way they wanted it was bad. And that is why Moses told them that you are not going just to get anything without, I mean, working for it. You are now given the man and salwa without working for it. Okay, that's good, that's great. But you cannot just ask everything. And tomorrow, after these things are given to you, you say, oh, this is not enough. We want houses to come along with us, for example. We want to live in houses. And it wouldn't have any end. That's why.
Any sisters?
When looking at back at the history, what has happened to the Jewish people, the situation we are going through at present as a Muslim community, where many of the peoples are without food and shelter, does it reflect that we as a community have gone somewhere wrong and we are suffering so much at present?
Now, I cannot say whether this suffering is a consequence of what we have done, but certainly we have gone wrong. I mean, there's no doubt that we have done things which the Jews have done in their religion. We have actually annoyed our prophets. We have disregarded him the way, of course, the Jews have done it. When I say we, I mean we as an ummah, not, of course, individuals. Individuals are different, just like the verse says, the Jews, Christians, Muslims, whoever have faith and in God and hereafter and do good, of course, we give them their reward. But as a nation, as an ummah, of course, we have killed the grandson of the prophet, haven't we? I mean, we have barred those ulama who tried to give us the right interpretation of the Quran. We have jailed them, we have killed them. And in the history, we have become an empire. We have transgressed to other lands. We have shed blood. Yeah, of course, that is what we have to get.
Thank you. Shafran?
Alaykum as-salam.
Sheikh, I remember another hadith you once mentioned where Allah tells Musa, ask me anything, even for the grass for your sheep and the salt for your food. And these things are even less than cucumbers and garlic.
Yeah.
And so is it perhaps the way they asked was wrong?
Yeah, if you ask God, but if you say Musa, ask your God. You see, Musa, ask your God to give us this. This is very insolent, isn't it? They always behaved like that. Yeah, they could have asked for God, and if God didn't give, they should have been patient, they should have been grateful to what they were given. But going to Musa and saying, Musa, ask your God to give us these things. Of course, that's very bad.
So it wasn't the fact that they were asking, it's that they were really complaining.
Complaining and not knowing how to ask God and wanting the result to come as a consequence of the prayer of Musa, just like what they were receiving throughout their journey.
Any sisters? Any brother?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
You mentioned about Misran being Egypt or another town, and your preference was for Egypt. Obviously, the text we have is Misran, whereas Egypt is Ghair Munsarif. Would this be an issue or not really?
The exegetes haven't actually taken it as an issue, and therefore almost in all, not in all, but in many exegetes, they have mentioned Misran means Egypt. Although Misran is Nakara, and therefore it means a city, however, they haven't seen this as an issue. Yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters? Sheikh, can you describe what is manna and salwa, and how was it provided by Allah?
Man was a honey-like sort of product, which every morning, just like dews coming on leaves of the plants, they were just dropping out of the earth themselves, and they just collected it and they ate it. it had the nutritious effect of a full breakfast, and they could eat it every morning. And salwa were quails, a specific type of bird that they had for their dinner. And they came every day for them, actually. It was not something that they didn't have fridge, for example, to keep them in the fridge. They just had to eat whatever they had for the day, and then next day it came for them again.
Thank you. Very interesting. Any brothers or sisters?
And actually, there is a very good lesson in that, that you are provided your daily meal by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without worrying to keep, to hoard, to store. And this is absolute reliance of God. And actually, God was teaching them that absolute reliance in that way, which of course, unfortunately, most of them, they didn't learn.
As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh. When it says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, does it only apply to the people that followed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Yes, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu is an address to those who believed in Prophet, isn't it? Because it is calling to
any believer who actually believed in God and oneness of God.
No.
Just followers.
Yeah, just followers. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu bi Muhammad. This is the meaning of it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu bi Muhammad.
Okay. Any brother?
Thank you, Sheikh. These discussions and requests or unjustified silly requests for happened during the 40 years of being lost in the desert.
Yes.
Which followed on taking the calf, the ajl.
The ajl was actually taken at the beginning of the journey. Yes.
So, after taking the ajal and then they repented.
Yes.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the min and salwa, and then they came back with this request, etc.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. Any brothers?
Actually, since Musa alayhi salam died in that wandering years, so whatever they say to Musa, it means that it was before his death. Why they're wandering in the desert, yeah.
Any brothers, sisters? So just to continue on my question, how long did it continue, the man and salwa, the provision of that? Did it stop suddenly or what happened?
As long as they were wandering in the desert, because they didn't have any means to produce food. So maybe just a bit less than 40 years that they were wandering in the deserts. It was provided for them.
Any brothers or sisters? Anybody? Sure, nobody? It seems, we'll have to close the session here then. Anybody? Muhammad Wali, Muhammad Salwa.